This is Pastor Emery. Today I will continue our study of Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. During March of this year, Pastor Record of California and I took 8 other men and spent 2 weeks calling on the offices of the senators and representatives in Washington, D.C. We have been doing this each spring for over 10 years. We call on the more patriotic and Christian of these congressmen to tell them that America is the great Zion of Bible prophecy, and that America will be delivered from her enemies when America as a nation repents and turns from her wicked ways. I will use the rest of this broadcast to cover more of the Bible prophecies about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. During the last several weeks, we have seen how Daniel wrote several prophecies about a great anti-God world power which would make war against the saints of the Most High God at the end of this age, and that the saints would finally overcome that anti-God world power with the help of God Almighty, and then at that time the saints would possess the kingdom, referring obviously to the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. In Revelation 17, we find the same thing. Turn in your Bibles to that chapter. We've read about the beast itself with the 7 heads and the 10 horns, and I have generally identified that red beast as world communism. Now, the 7 heads are 7 mountains, according to verse 9, and that has several identifying interpretations which may, at first glance, seem to be different, and yet they can all be true. The visible headquarters of world communism is the Kremlin, in the city of Moscow, the capital of Russia. The city of Moscow is built on 7 hills. The Kremlin is on the top of the highest. Now, mountains are also used in Bible prophecy for nations. In that interpretation, that would mean 7 nations. And we find on the international scene that every nation of the world is controlled to some extent by treaties and pacts made under the United Nations Organization. Although there are over 100 members in the UN, her control is vested in 5 nations, called after World War II the Big Five. They were Russia, China, the United States, Great Britain, and France. Each of these Big Five were given power by the UN Charter to veto any United Nations action by the other nations. But you say, Pastor Emery, what does this have to do with 7 nations in verse 9 and 10 of Revelation 17? Well, possibly quite a lot. For you see, these 5 nations in the UN are actually voted as 7 nations, which is not commonly known. In 1945, when the UN Charter was adopted, Communist Russia was given 3 votes instead of 1. So Russia has 3 delegates, the other 4 nations each have 1, making a total of 7 ruling nations in the United Nations Organization. In verse 12, there are also 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Everyone is watching with interest the European Common Market nations, which presently number 9 nations and will probably reach the number of 10 soon. The Holy Roman Empire of 800 A.D., began under Charlemagne with 10 nations. And although the boundaries of Europe have changed innumerable times in the last 1,000 years, those same European territories still constituted all of the power of the beast system which ruled over the peoples of Europe during that time. Now be careful that you do not think of the people themselves as part of the beast. Notice here it says the kings are the ones who give that power. And by and large, the people of Europe have never been free in the manner that we here in America consider free. They have always been under the rule of powerful monarchies or dictatorships, some good, some terrible, but still it is those monarchies or ruling dictatorships which have been responsible for most of the wickedness and the anti-Christian activities of those nations. Even when a large number of the citizens were nominal Christians, much of the government activity itself is still directed against the best interest of the Christians, sometimes even being directed to the killing of the Christian people. We see this now beginning to happen in America, since the United States government agencies have now largely passed into the hands and the control of those who are for United Nations control of all governments. Our own government has become more and more anti-Christian. That still does not make America a nation of Antichrist, nor does it make America Babylon, as some teach. In fact, in a few moments, I am going to turn to the prophets and show you that regathered Israel in a place called Zion were to come under the control of Babylon of Bible prophecy. That would not make Zion Babylon, but it would make Zion the captive of Babylon, just as once Christian America is now the captive of the Antichrist today. But let's read on in Revelation 17 a little further first. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. In other words, these 10 kings, which are possibly the 10 kingdoms of Europe, will allow their power and their wealth to be used by world communism. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb. That means they will allow their power and wealth to be used against Jesus Christ and his followers. To a great extent, this is already true of Europe. The governments of the European nations, like our own, allow wickedness and anti-Christian teachings to flourish in their nations to the detriment of the people. Even the Vietnam War itself bore out that the rulers of the nations of Europe were not on the side of righteousness, for they all continued to trade with Communist Russia and China and even with North Vietnam. Several years ago, some of these nations also armed the Nigerians of Africa to carry on a war of extermination against the Igbo tribesmen of Nigeria. This war resulted in the death of over 1 million of the Igbos. The Igbos, considered by anthropologists to be the most intelligent of all of Africa's black tribes, are the only Negro tribe in Africa to have accepted the Christian religion as a tribe. They do not have witch doctors, they do not have idols, but attempt as a people to follow the teachings they adopted from Christian missionaries in the late 1800s. That war in Nigeria proved the anti-Christianity of several governments, two of which are supposedly anti-communist. For the Nigerians were armed for killing the Christian idols by three nations, Russia, England, and Jewish Israeli. All three cooperated to destroy the idols as a separate people, and the only crime of the idols seems to have been their desire to establish their own nation on Christian principles. Now, thank God, this continuing victory over Christians by the Antichrist will soon come to an end. For verse 4 continues, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So it is not only Jesus who overcomes the Antichrist, but those who are with him also. This is identical to what we read in Daniel 7. Where Daniel spoke of the horn on the head of that beast, that horn, quote, made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Christians were prophesied to be on the losing side of this battle until judgment is given to them. In other words, until they receive the power to bring judgment on the Antichrist. The conflict is already here. The great tribulation is already begun. The Antichrist already rule. Mystery Babylon is already in power. And there has been no rapture, nor will there be. We are combatants in a war in which most Christians do not even know they are engaged. You know, some of you dear people who are so sold on the rapture doctrine should learn something from Vietnam, as you should have learned from the fall of Cuba and the fall of China and the fall of Eastern Europe to world communism. Tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, of people in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia will be murdered by the communists because they either are professing Christians or because they are related to professing Christians. This same procedure was followed in Russia and Eastern Europe and by Mao Zedong and the anti-Christians who conquered China. Torture and murder of anyone connected with the teachings of Jesus Christ. No rapture for them, and there is none taught in the Bible. On that the prophets and Jesus Christ are agreed. Tribulation, yes. Rapture or removal from the earth, no. Turn with me to Micah 4. The first three verses are practically identical to Isaiah 2. Then God speaks of the regathering of the Israel people in verses 6 and 7. Let's read them and then go on from there, and we will see this is prophesied that Zion would be in captivity to Babylon at the end of this age. Micah 4, starting in verse 6. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. This would be cast off Israel. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, from henceforth even forever. So cast off Israel, being regathered, would become a strong nation, and that nation would be called Mount Zion. I believe that is the United States of America. The Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples who constitute latter-day Israel have been gathered here, and we have been made by God into a strong nation. He goes on, verse 8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. The kingdom of Christ was to be given to that strong nation called Zion. Jesus told the Jewish Pharisees in Matthew 21:43, quote, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof, unquote. So, the kingdom would go to this strong nation, a nation basically Christian, or it could not possibly bring forth Christian kingdom fruits. But that Zion nation gets in trouble. Reading on in Micah, verse 9. Now why dost thou cry out aloud, is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. Something is going to be born out of all this trouble. He goes on. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. Can you imagine that? Regathered Israel in Zion, made into a great nation, then a time of trouble, and Zion to go even to Babylon. And what will happen when Zion comes under the control of Babylon? The very next phrase, there shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. The same prophecy, the same story, the same teaching as Daniel and Revelation and Jesus Christ. God's people to come under the control of the Antichrist rulers of the world, and then, in a time of conflict and great tribulation, to be delivered from that control into the kingdom of Christ upon the earth. The next verses of Micah describe the nations gathered against Zion and how Zion will fight in that battle and be victorious. All the nations of the world are being gathered against the United States of America, the greatest nation of all history, a nation made great by its founding on Jesus Christ and the following of Christ's teachings and his law from our beginnings. No other nation like it in all of history, past or present. Yes, America is the Zion of Bible prophecy. In Isaiah 52 is a similar prophecy. In verse 1 we read, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean, but Zion must do something first. Verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. In other words, Zion has been captured, and God tells her to loose herself from that captivity. In verse 5, we see that captivity is an oppression of God's people, and it is anti-God or anti-Christ. They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Where was that to happen? Well, believe it or not, in Zion. If you have been told Zion is in heaven, or it is used only in relation to the kingdom age, you have been told wrong. Zion is a nation of regathered Israel, a great and mighty Christian nation, and before the full kingdom age, Zion was to go through a terrible time of trouble and tribulation. Zechariah wrote of the same thing, and in verse 3 of chapter 2 of Zechariah, God speaks to Zion, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Yes, prophetic Babylon, called Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth in Revelation 17, was to actually conquer God's Zion nation at the end of this age, to make the Israel people captive, to persecute them, and attempt to destroy them. And then through God's Spirit and power, God's Israel people would break the power of Mystery Babylon over Zion and then destroy her rule over themselves and all of the earth. That is described in Revelation 18, which we will cover in some detail later, including the call in verse 4, come out of her, my people, and then in verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. In other words, God's Israel people are to come out from under the control of Babylon and then to destroy her. Yes, my Christian Israel friends, we have a great and holy mission of God for the glory of our Christ and of his kingdom. We have the mission to destroy the power of the Antichrist in America and then in the earth. Let us not ignore it or attempt to escape it. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.